Oh, we've got some stuff in store for you today here, boys and girls. It's the news, according to me. Hey, we got a show. It's Tuesday, September 1st, 9:34 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I've been doing a little work on the old podcast caller. It's been very interesting, to say the least. Some interesting features being added, and it's creating a monster. I have this. Anyway, I got to turn the music down here so you can hear me, because you don't want to hear me. You don't want to hear that music blasting away, crazy long haired hippie music. It's interesting what's going on here with this podcast caller thing. I'll get into it more later because I'm glad it's today because it's technical Tuesday, so I can talk about it a bit more and feel good about it since we're talking about technology today. We got a few bots here today. The good news is there's going to be some changes up on the bots, kind of a rotation of bots basically coming through here. Yesterday I created 32 new characters, and they're all customizable to the point where you wouldn't recognize one from. I could change Leonard so much you wouldn't recognize him from one day to the next. But he's still the same bot. He still has the same. He can have all the same stuff on behind him, but he could change so much about his character and his attitude and his all this stuff. Pretty cool stuff that I was able to build yesterday that I didn't think I was going to be able to do. I finally got it built into the process. We worked with Claude Code quite a bit back and forth with some stuff. Had to go through Claude Cowork to get it figured out and kind of do some brainstorming about how to get some things done. And actually came up with a prompt that made it all possible, and then it just all fit together. Some of the stuff that's going on in the back end, I've got what's called a developer. It's a parallel program that runs locally here on my machine, so I can test all the stuff out, make sure it's working before I commit it to the actual app. And it works really well. But now I'm finding out some things about the way it's been built that actually makes it even more fun. It's crazy. We can actually have what's fun about, and I'll tell you what it is. So the podcast caller, you know, the panel thing is up and running. If you go to podcastcaller.com, free trial, I guess it's called, 14-day free trial, which I think lasts longer than 14 days right now. But if you get it for 14 days, you can try it out. It's kind of fun. What it will do. So you can pull up this panel discussion thing where you can have, you know, multiple guests in there, I think up to three or four people in there at a time. And it's like they're right in the room. They'll talk to each other. So you can ask them a question. They kind of discuss things back and forth. Well, what's fun about that is you can also have callers still call in. So you can have other people calling in, other caller characters can call in and ask questions. They can ask the panel questions. This is a fascinating dynamic to this whole story of the podcast caller. So I tried it yesterday. I was like, well, you know, they still got these callers down here. But what if I just click on one? What if it does something? And how are they going to respond? Can they hear it? And will they respond to it? And they did. It was all plugged in the right way. So it all picked it all up. It was pretty fascinating, I must say. So anyway, we might toy with that a little bit today. We'll see what kind of time we have. I usually try to keep the show to at least less than an hour. Try to, typically 30 to 40 minutes is a decent show, especially when I'm on the road. But right now this show is probably going to be an hour because I got a lot to talk about. Anyway, in my cup here, I've got chai with I have some Cinnabon creamer coming up here shortly. It'll be on tomorrow's show, but I have on today's show is still All Enjoy Creamer in my chai. But I made a fresh batch of sweet peach tea yesterday. and it is fomenting very nicely. It's not really the word for that, but the peaches. It's kind of, I've watched how these peaches work. So I got these frozen peaches. They were fresh cut, and then frozen. And we got enough to last for a couple months, I guess. And we have so I got these. I put them in with my tea. I'm gonna make my pitcher of tea, my gallon. So I make a gallon of tea and sweet tea, and I put those peaches in there. Well, what happens is they float for a while. When they're completely fresh, they typically float for a little while. They actually don't float as long if you just cut them up fresh before they. Of course, the frozen ones are gonna float because it's ice. But I've noticed that as they begin to disperse their flavoring. They ride on the top, even when they're thawed out, they ride on the top for quite some time. And then eventually they start to, I would say that they, what is it called? Suspension, I guess it's suspension. I think it's called suspension. They become suspended in the teeth. So in other words, they just kind of float around. They don't really stay up or down. And then eventually they kind of settle to the bottom. It's right as the last ones are settling to the bottom that typically the flavoring is kind of, it's just getting into its peak. And so if you stir it a little bit at that point, you get that peach flavor, fresh peach flavor all through the tea. It's just, it's kind of a science. I'm a scientist. It's science. Anyway, that's kind of where we're at with that stuff. That's not a technology thing. What are you talking about, Kevin? So anyway, on today's show, we'll talk a little bit about some technology stuff, get the bots all warmed up. So I have no idea what they're going to say, what they're going to ask me. I'm probably just going to go right down the line and ask some questions. We might, because I want to kind of get into this panel discussion thing. And I've got both of them up right now. I've got the actual podcast caller.com. The real app is up right now. And then I've got the developer app, the additional thing. I've got that spooled up on another screen here. And so I might do both. I don't know what kind of questions I'm going to ask, though, so I have no idea. But we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, I have a little ditty here I'll play for you. This is just so you know that my lawyers are involved in all this stuff. If you haven't ever listened to the show before, this is the podcast caller. By the way, there was an exponential number of people watched the show, apparently. let me see if I can pull this up. The numbers were astronomical. And still are. I don't know what's going on with that. That's about 100 times more people, more listens, I should say, more than with normal. That's more than a binge watch thing. That's more than somebody just binging it. Just in the past couple of days, that's about 100 times more people than normal on the stats here. Now, for some reason, it's kind of interesting in the numbers and the way they're acting here. I'm not sure what's going on with that. A lot of this is in New York City, or in the state of New York, I should say, the state of New York. Maybe it is New York. I bet I should look at the stats again here. It is New York City. A very large number. Now, Singapore is the number two city. Singapore. I don't understand that. I hopefully they can speak English. Maybe they're getting it translated. Boston, Massachusetts comes in a close third. Tokyo is right up there. Of course, London, England. Most of these are foreign cities, except for New York, obviously. But Fort Wayne, Indiana is in there. That's in the top 20. Los Angeles, California is in there. State of Vienna in Vienna. Huh. Interesting stuff. New Jersey, interesting, weird. Hong Kong is still on the top 20. Falling in right, tied basically with my home city here of Goshen, Indiana. We have Wappingers Falls. That's such an interesting name. That made the top 20. Some other places in New York there, it looks like. Boston, Massachusetts. Yeah, I got to get it's interesting, interesting stuff. But an extremely high number. If you look at the chart, it makes the usually with my chart, I kind of follow the chart. It kind of stays within a range. Once in a while, it'll spike up a little bit. The one spike that I thought was kind of big from the past 90 days is what I'm looking at. And it's kind of stays on. It looks like a heartbeat type thing. It just goes across the chart. It's kind of follows this line. And then all of a sudden it makes it look like nobody has listened to the whole thing until just a couple days ago. So I don't know what's happening there. I don't know if it's some kind of a load dump thing, data dump. I know that on Podbean, this the number of listens has spiked up occasionally a couple times. I gotta log back in again. It spiked up to about 10 times more than what it normally does. But it's right now it's back in the normal range of what normally number of listens or whatever, downloads or whatever. But this is crazy. This is on Castos, and I know that they get some data dumps occasionally from time. So I appreciate it. I just want to say this. I do appreciate people listening. I appreciate the fact that maybe it's the podcast caller thing that people are calling in or that they're listening to the show, about that kind of, or maybe it's just somebody that's trying to hack the program. I don't know. Who knows? But nonetheless, we have a few things going on with that. Let's go back to the podcast caller thing. I can't push the buttons unless I got it actually up in front of me. We have, that's what's going on. I'll play this little ditty. We'll be right back right after this little, go ahead and fill up your coffee. Go to the potty, whatever you need to do, or you can just fast forward for 2 minutes, and you'll be past this whole thing, or a minute, whatever. I think it's a minute, whatever it is. Here you go. Oh, that's loud.
Before we get started, here's what you should know. Welcome to the show. I'm glad you tuned in. I've got things to say, and I don't know where to begin. But first, a word, a little tiny word from me. This is entertainment, not a medical degree. I'm not a doctor, not a doctor, not a lawyer, not a lawyer, not a financial counselor. No, no, no. These are my opinions, just my take on things, not professional advice. Read the fine print, please. I'm here for your enjoyment. Nothing more, nothing less.
But definitely don't sue me.
I've given you my best. Ba-bum-bum. I might sound convincing when I get on a roll. And yeah, I googled that, so maybe I'm on a scroll. But for the real stuff, your body, your wallet, your rights, call a professional and maybe tune in Friday nights. Opinions, just opinions, just my thoughts, for entertainment, just entertainment. That's the shot. Now that we've covered all the legal stuff and more, let's get this show started. That's what you came here for.
That's what you came here for. We have get the show started. That was kind of a long one. I think it's kind of one of the funner ones, but it's at the same time, it's kind of long. Just kind of listen to the whole show. But there you go. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. Listen at your own risk. If you decide to do anything that I suggest, that's on you. Because you're listening to a crazy man with a microphone. That's what you're listening to. We have, let's see here. I have to say that's good sweet tea. That's just good sweet tea. Properly filtered water. Good quality tea. Tea leaves. And, sugar. It's got to throw the sugar in there with fresh peaches. Just, it's good stuff. We have, I got a little bit of morning voice here going on. I don't know. It's kind of late in the morning. It'd be having the morning. It's almost 10 o'clock already. So I don't know what's going on with that. All right, I was going to go down the list. Just going to go right down the old list here right now. We have Artie on the line. Let's see what Artie wants to say. I'm going to push some buttons here and get this all set up for him, because I make sure I probably should have saved the show. Didn't even think about that. I usually run a backup now because I've had some issues. I've got a backup recording thing going on here. We got, in fact, I think the podcast caller is going to have a backup system here eventually. MP3, it's going to actually record through the server. So if you have the show, you can actually listen, you know, you can actually record your show there as well as on your own DAW and on your own computer as well as, I've got a thing on my mixer I can record on as well as into my computer. So I'll be recording it in three places, which will give you kind of a backup. Anyway, back it up. Let's go with Artie, see what he has to say today. And we'll have some fun with Artie here in a little bit. We'll talk about it. And just here you go. This is. Go ahead, Artie. Go ahead. Say whatever you're going to say. I don't know what you got programmed in there. He didn't say anything. What happened to Artie? Uh-oh. We may have a problem. Artie didn't say anything. Let's see what goes on here. Artie was supposed to say something. Artie's thinking about it. Artie's not talking. Okay, the podcast caller apparently is broke. It's apparently broken. Maybe this isn't going to work. Let's see what. See if Elena's going to say anything. Nope, Elena's not. Voice unavailable. TTS failed. Well, in that case, what we're going to do here is we're going to refresh this whole thing and see if it comes back. We'll go back to the studio here. This is interesting. It's on Technology Tuesday that this would happen. All right, that looks good. That looks good. Get all that done. Let's see if. Let's go back over here. I want to take a look and make sure it's got filter by name account. Oh, you know what? There's no voice on here. Well, that's interesting. The voices that I had are gone. I think what we'll do, we're going to select this one, I think, is what we're going to do. There's a whole bunch of them in here. There's Artie. We're going to select Artie. I think this is the original Artie. Yeah, sorry about that. I left him without a voice. All these characters have no voice. That's not going to work. Let's see if I can find Chloe. I just got to plug all these back in again, I guess. Well, they're not in alphabetical order. That doesn't help. Where did Chloe go? I don't see Chloe anymore. Apparently Chloe doesn't have a voice. This might get interesting. I don't see Chloe on here. So maybe, Yeah, Chloe used to be, I don't know. Callum, George, Charlie, Laura. I'm just going to put her in there, I guess. Yeah, I'm just going to save that one. Elena, get Elena in here now. We got, I don't wonder if she's even got a voice in here. Maybe she probably does. I would think she would. I don't see her now. It's already Betty. Looks like Betty's got a. Yeah, we're just going to use Betty. So we're going to use that. It's already selected, it looks like. And Leonard, let's go with the. Got to have Leonard in here. I wonder if he's already got a. I wonder if these others had already had a voice selected. I don't think they do. Oh, he does. Hannibal Hills, British professor, yeah. Well, they were already selected. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe they just. Interesting. Well, let's try it again. See if Artie says anything this time. Nope. Voice unavailable. TTS failed. All right. So what we're going to do? We're going to dismiss that. I think we can run this, however, with the podcast, the other one. I think I can run it with this one. Make this one work. Let's see if this one's working. I'm going to cancel the panel discussion. I'm just going to go back to the regular thing here. Now the question is, did I actually fill? I don't think I filled any of these in. I don't think they got filled in with. Let's see. Sorry for the delay here, folks. Where Where's Betty at? Oh, oh, shit, there's one in there. She's got that one in there. Yeah, I think we'll see. If it doesn't work on this one, then that means something seriously has happened to the whole system. I know that there were some changes with... I use 11 Labs for the those of you who are technology, have the technology thing. I use 11 Labs for all that stuff, and I think that... yeah, let's see. This isn't okay. I need to make some changes. I'm going to go ahead and throw this over here so I don't get it mixed up here right away. Just put that right there. Stand by for just a moment, folks. I'll play this. You listen to this, and I'll be right back.
Five, seven, four. But wait, there's more. 6-5-1, we're almost done. 7-6-85, text that number, it's alive. Text that number, call that number, don't be a loser.
All right, I think we got this figured out now. We're going to go back to the live thing here. Let's just go to Artie. Let's see if Artie works on this one. Let's see what Artie has to say. Is he listening? I haven't started the mic yet. Let's see what Artie has to say, and we'll go from there. Go ahead, Artie. Dismissed. Voice unavailable. TTS failed. All right, so that's what we got going on. We got some kind of a weird thing happening. What I need to do is I need to take a screenshot of this. There we go. I'm going to send that to Claude and say, hey, you broke, I'm broken. I see what the issue is. Oh, yeah. I see what's going on here. All right. And I guess, I got Claude working on this in the background. Let's see what we got going on here now. Yeah, let's see what we have happening here. Let's go to Artie. Let's just go down the list. We'll just go down to Artie. Let's see. I think we can make this work.
Hey, Kevin. Hey. Great show today. Yeah. I'm diving deep into yesterday's House Intel Committee warning about Black Swan AI risks. Can you break down the specific technical vulnerabilities they're flagging? Are we talking model poisoning attacks, adversarial inputs, or something more fundamental with these massive data centers becoming single points of failure for critical infrastructure?
Wow. Good question. The Black Swan thing, my understanding is that's kind of like I think there's a term for that. I guess it's called a Black Swan. What is that actually? I guess I'm still trying to figure out the actual terminology from that. Let me just do a quick search here. I'm just going to do a quick Google here. Black Swan event. Swan. That's not going to work. Yeah, it's going to be Swan event. It's an extremely rare, unpredictable occurrence that carries a severe, widespread impact and is falsely rationalized as predictable only after it happens. I think there was a movie. Yeah, there was a movie. 2007, a book called The Black Swan. Book, I guess. Not maybe. I think there's a movie written about it too, or done about it. The term comes from an old European belief that all swans were white because black ones had never been seen until explorers discovered black swans in Australia, shattering the assumption. I think that the Black Swan theory, or theory of Black Swan events, is a metaphor that describes an event that comes as a surprise, has a major effect. And I think it's kind of taken on a little bit of a different tone in modern terminology. My understanding is it has more to do with surprise attack kind of thing, Black Swan event, where it's intentionally done by someone else and kind of comes out of the blue, kind of like an AI or a cyber attack, that kind of thing that happens. It's, you know, a major event that kind of happens. That's my understanding of it. Now, getting back to your question, the whole thing, There's a whole lot of vulnerabilities here, and one of the things is it really comes down to, and this is where it gets really tricky and hard to understand, is, in my opinion anyway, it has more to do with the speed of compute. Because once you get an AI system, like Anthropic or whatever you've got, the LLM system behind it, if you can outsmart your opponent, and the AI will basically, it's like a massive game of chess, and it can happen in a split second. If you have a quantum computer, something that can do a whole lot of computations in a second, or, you know, in a millisecond, it's like lightning striking, and it happens so fast that it might set up a, like a chess game, or like a feinting type thing, or a feign in boxing. You might act like you're going to, you deliberately kind of slow down a punch to get your opponent to drop his guard or put his guard up or whatever it is you're trying to do. And at that moment, that's when you come up with the speed to attack. So you're kind of, this same kind of thing happens in chess, where you might sacrifice a particular pawn or a particular piece on the board in order to get your opponent to go down a road that's going to end up with the checkmate kind of thing. And I think this is where, it gets very tricky in terms of being able to attack your opponent and send them into chaos. And so it's, I think there's something like that, that's what their big concern is. I think it's this big chess game that's going on. I don't know. I'm kind of all over the place with that answer. Maybe you've got a better answer, but that's kind of where I'm at with it. What do you think?
Right, so technically speaking, the original concept from Nassim Taleb is about something nobody saw coming that reshapes everything. But in the AI context, the House Committee is using it more specifically to mean a sudden catastrophic failure mode that we haven't anticipated yet, like a coordinated attack or systemic collapse that emerges from these interconnected AI systems. The difference matters because the old definition was just surprise plus impact, but what they're really warning about is that we're building these massive centralized systems without fully understanding all the failure points, and when something breaks, it breaks hard and fast.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to slow these guys down. Interesting. Here's something that's interesting about the podcast app. By the way, there's no commercials here. This is all sponsored by me. The show is sponsored by me. And the only kind of commercial you're going to get is this whole thing. We're building this podcast app, and it's kind of fun to play with, but it's, the content of the show as well. Since it is Technical Tuesday, I'm going to talk about more of the technical back end of this thing. It has, I recently made some changes. There's something called Flash, what is it called? Flash something. I can't remember what the version of it is. Flash 7.3, I think, maybe, or what it is. It's a whichever version of Flash is out there right now. It's using Flash now instead of just using the API keys. What ends up happening here is it speeds up the processing. It's supposed to sound a little bit more real. Now, unfortunately, I probably should have slowed RD down a little bit, which I can do. I can pace him a little bit slower because he's thinking faster. He's talking faster now because he can speak faster. And so what you're going to find is it's going to be a much more natural sound. The quality, I hope, is going to be just as good. From what I understand, it's supposed to be better. I am changing a few things in the back end. I use 11 Labs for the voice management things. I've got an API key that goes to 11 Labs with my membership, so it's using that. When this thing rolls out, it's going to actually go to a higher fidelity, supposedly, with 11 Labs. Because I will have to go to a different membership in order to make it work, to keep all the, because I will hopefully have some customers, some users, and there's going to be some, I have to have a higher plan in order to make it work. Right now I'm just on a creator plan, which is pretty low. I hardly use any of it. Even having a show every day with four callers a day, and then me all of a sudden, even with the testing that I'm doing. Now, I don't do a lot of conversational stuff. I have them call in a couple times, or they talk a few times. The first one, it doesn't cost anything because it's not using any kind of AI. Well, I guess it uses the voice, but it doesn't use anything else. It's just reading the voice. which Flash doesn't cost anything for that. It just runs it. It's about half the price, basically. It's what it cuts your price in half using Flash rather than using it. I can't understand it all. Claude was trying to explain it to me. Whatever. It's just going to cost less. That's all. And it worked just as fine. I did all the testing with it. Worked just as fine. In fact, it's faster and it has more expression, which is kind of weird. But I'll just leave it at that. Let's go. This next step on the thing here looks like Chloe's up here next. I'm just going to go with Chloe, see what she has to say. Let's see if she's changed at all in this whole process. Go ahead, Chloe.
Kevin, did you see Google Maps is showing Lake America, but Apple Maps is still calling it Lake Ontario? Like, this is literally big tech playing politics with our geography. Why is Apple defying President Trump's order? Are they more loyal to Canada than America? This is so wild.
Well, it's interesting. It's an interesting thing. I don't know that Apple has to obey the president's order. Now here's what's funny about this. They're making a big deal out of Trump changing the names of things. Gulf of Mexico now is the Gulf of America. We're going to have Lake America instead of Lake Ontario. What's odd about this, which it's kind of weird, is Biden. I didn't realize this. Biden changed the names of about 900 and some things. He did a whole bunch of name changing on a whole bunch of things. A lot of it was even things like and this didn't even get into that number, but the national NTSB, there were some other things. The FAA, for example, I was part of this. I had to deal with this. Notices to airmen was changed to notices to air missions. Things like that, just ridiculous, stupid things that had to be changed. It's back to NOTAMs again. It's back to notices to airmen again. But he changed a lot of stuff like that. He changed a lot, names on forts, names on cities, names on all military bases, all kinds of things that changed because of woke stuff. So they make a big deal out of it. I don't know necessarily that it's... by the way, Chloe's voice is different. I don't know if you noticed that or not. Apparently that changed with all the changes we made in the back end. I don't know what happened there, but because there's about 32 voices available now that people can pick from for their little characters that they can pick. You can audition them right there on the show and everything on the back end of your thing. Anyway, so that's... we'll let Chloe go ahead and respond. Go ahead. It's whatever you have to say. I don't know what I was talking about. You know better than I do.
Okay, so honestly, you're right. The name change thing is way less of a scandal when you realize both sides have been doing it. Like, nobody was making TikToks about notices to air missions, so it clearly wasn't landing. But here's the thing that actually gets
landing.
Me. These geographic names aren't just vibes. They're used in, like, maritime law and flight paths. So changing them actually has logistical consequences that affect real infrastructure, which is low-key chaotic. And yeah, Apple probably doesn't have to follow the order since it's a private company, but the pressure is definitely real.
Huh. Well, there you go. Quite the response, I guess, that we had there from Chloe. Interesting stuff. Yeah. I'm just going to go to Leonard, see what Leonard has to say here. I always get a little bit, there's always a little bit of trepidation going to Leonard. We'll see what Leonard has to say. Go ahead, Leonard. What do you have to say?
Kevin.
Yes.
Quick question.
Same guy. Yeah.
Bill Gates is now saying AI needs to slow down to protect humanity after spending years hyping it up. Isn't this the same pattern we saw with big tech and social media? They build it, profit from it, break society, then ask for government regulations that conveniently lock out competitors. What's his real angle here?
You nailed it, Leonard. That is exactly the way it happens. And what I would say with all of this happening, what typically people who step in, like people who are very the extreme rich people. We're talking the billionaires, the ones who've made it from zero to billionaire type type people. They always want to shut the door behind themselves so that nobody else can do what they've done. They don't want competition. They want to be up the top of the piggy pile. They don't want anybody else to get crawl in there. And this happens all the time. And I think that one of the biggest, probably the biggest issues that we run into is that they do develop an extremely, you know, powerful lobby typically sometimes. You know, they'll start organizations, they'll start all kinds of things behind the scenes. They'll start funding other organizations that these NGOs, that's where a lot of the funding comes from some of these companies that actually can influence them. But you're right. I agree with your perception there on the whole thing. Now, as far as Bill Gates goes, I think Bill Gates is probably upset that he didn't get in on the AI thing sooner and that he's way behind on it. I don't think he has any, you know, I mean, Microsoft doesn't really, they've kind of gotten there. They're kind of going the way of Kodak, in my opinion. They haven't kept up with the ball game here. And I think that he realizes that he wants to kind of slow things down. The other side of it is, I think that he's concerned. It's pretty rich though, coming from somebody who, if you understand Moderna, for example, what happened there with the whole medicine thing why is a computer guy getting involved in medical science all of a sudden? And why is he some kind of expert? It's a very strange thing for him, especially somebody who has the philosophy about society that he does. If you look into his, you know, deeply into his societal engineering that he wants to do, and the things that he believes, it is not he's a very manipulative guy. Manipulative. That's what I'm trying to say. So I don't know. I don't trust Bill Gates very far. I think he's a very self-serving individual. It's just my opinion. You can take for what
now,
you know.
Hold on.
Oh, hold on.
You're making some big leaps there, and mm-hmm. I've got to pump the brakes a little.
Oh, pump the brakes.
Look,
go ahead.
Gates getting into global health, that's worth questioning, sure,
well,
but
well, that
societal
is.
Engineering and manipulative.
Well, that's what it is.
Are doing a lot of heavy lifting in that argument without showing the receipts.
Oh, there's plenty
and
of receipts.
Microsoft
there.
Being Kodak.
Oh, did you lose your? Yeah, Kodak went away because they didn't keep up with the digital market. But can you go down and get Kodak film anymore? Does Kodak even exist anymore? I don't even know if it does anymore. Let's take a look. Let's go to the old. Let's go to the old. I'm gonna let Leonard speak again. Kodak, there it is. Kodak. We'll see if they even exist anymore. The Eastman Kodak Company, referred to as simply as Kodak in America, an American public company that produces various products related to the historic basis in film photography. The company is headquartered in Rochester, New York. It's apparently still around. It's incorporated in New Jersey. We have they have a Pixel Pro. The Pixel Pro camera is still out there. Instant print and digital cameras back, but was it another company that actually went broke? Maybe Kodak is still around. They used to be big, not so big anymore. Let's just put it that way. Was it Canon? Was it people? Canon's still out there as well. Fujifilm, all those companies. But there was, I think it was, I thought it was Kodak that actually, and they're still making cameras, I guess. But they're all digital now. Who was the company? It wasn't Nikon. Who was it? Can't remember. Who it was that didn't want to go with the? I can't remember. There was a company. Maybe you know, Leonard. Maybe, but that's it's that. I think that Microsoft has thought that they were so top of the piggy pile for so long. They were the top dog. Nobody could compete with them. And so I think that they just. They basically kind of, and still do. They think that they're so big, nobody compete with them. And now they're finding out that there's all these little companies that start up, you know, around them that all of a sudden they got competition again. They used to be the business computer, and now they're not anymore. Of course, they were the You know, so it's kind of, it's just kind of a Mac. You know, he can do about everything on a Mac. In fact, people are even coding on Macs now that didn't used to. In fact, it's even more efficient, I think. But so that's kind of what has happened, I guess.
Look, you nailed the Kodak parallel.
Okay, well,
they got fat and lazy at the top. And that's exactly what happens when you think nobody can touch you.
Yep.
But here's where I gotta call it straight.
Okay, here we go.
Saying Gates is behind on AI and also secretly running some grand scheme to slow things down doesn't quite
You're the
add
one that
up.
Came up with that.
Pick
I didn't...
one. Because those are two different problems.
You're the one that brought it up that he was... What he was You're the one asking the questions, Leonard. I don't know. I'll keep you on another week, at least for the rest of the week. I'll see how it goes. I don't know. Have I let Elena talk yet? I'm not sure if I have yet or not. Who haven't I let talk yet? I can't remember. We had Artie, right? We had Artie, Chloe. Chloe had the weird voice. Leonard, I think it's Elena. We'll go to Ellen and see what she has to say.
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, that's quick.
Looking at the DOJ announcement that Chinese hackers breached the Senate, Federal Reserve, and NASA, this reminds me of the Soviet Union's systematic infiltration of Manhattan Project facilities in the 1940s. Are we seeing history repeat itself, where our adversaries steal decades of AI research while we debate pronouns and DEI?
Yeah. We are entering a time, I think it is much like the Cold War. Data is such an intrusive part, or it has intruded itself into our lives to such a degree, not just the military, but everything. Mechanized warfare is still at the end of the day, that is, it's still got to win the day. But all of the planning, the thoughts, the instrumentation, everything that happens behind it all, is very much driven by computer technology, and so much software, all the stuff that's happening behind the scenes, the logistics and GPS and satellite communication, all the stuff that has to happen to make it really efficient. If you can outdo your enemy in that playing field, then you have the or a theater, as they would say. It is a formidable thing, and I think that they're trying to everybody's trying to vie for being the head of the pile at that point. Now, once that whole infrastructure goes down, whether it's an EMP or whatever it is, you have a black swan event, whatever kind of thing, or even just a solar flare, it can take out a whole lot of things. Then you're back to the mechanized system again, and it's all going to be about planning and these guys with all the experience who are dying off, they have all the military strategy stuff memorized, and not the people who not just depending on a computer to make your decisions for you. That's one of the biggest issues that we get into. And this is kind of a side note. It's not really it doesn't really go with what you're asking, the question you're asking, but. We end up with this situation where if we start using AI to make decisions for us, that's a very dangerous place to go. If you use AI to empower you to make a decision, in other words, you're gathering information and you make sure it's verifiable and all this other stuff, because AI makes stuff up all the time. I think that at the end of the day, if you, look at all that, the interesting part of it, I guess, is that we make sure that we're not just treating AI as some kind of god, which I think that's probably the biggest issue. The biggest trap we fall into is thinking that it's all knowing and all seeing and always gives us the right answer, because it doesn't. It makes stuff up. It wants to please you. It wants to make sure it has an answer, even if it's wrong. I've had to correct. I've caught AI in all kinds of discussions where it gives me bad information or wrong information. Even just working on a car or doing whatever, it'll give me bad information. Now, it's getting better at saying, I can verify this, you know, verify this with the manual or whatever. I've had a lot of, you know, but I usually have to ask it to do that kind of thing, or it has to be built into the model itself. So I guess that's kind of where I would, where I, you know, that's where I kind of followed. But as far
you're hitting on exactly what happened after Pearl Harbor.
Uh-huh.
We had generals who understood maneuver and logistics in their bones, and that knowledge won us the war. But we've systematized everything into algorithms now.
Hmm.
That black swan vulnerability you mention is real. We saw hints of it with the grid failures in 03, and honestly, the infrastructure's only gotten more fragile as it's gotten smarter.
Yeah.
The difference between AI as a tool versus AI as a decision maker is the line between staying sharp and abdicating responsibility. And once you cross that, you can't get that institutional memory back.
Yeah, it's true. And I'm afraid we're heading there. That's my big concern, is that we could be possibly potentially heading there for all it's worth. Now, I had, because of all this other issues that we had with setting things up, I'm going to probably just forego that for now. I was going to try to set up a panel discussion and kind of show you some things, but I'm not going to do that. I might wait till next. I think I can do that next Tuesday, technical Tuesday, which we should be having a show next technical Tuesday. I think we're going to call this just to call the show for now, but we have, what we have going on, basically, is next week, or tomorrow, there will be a regular show. Now, the plan is to have, wishy-washy Wednesday. And I think that I may be able to have a panel discussion tomorrow. I'm going to try to do a show tomorrow from the worldwide headquarters. It's the only day I'll be able to do that this week, if I can do it. So I'm going to try to do it from there. However, it gets a little bit difficult because my computer there is not the one that I have some of these details on. So I think everything's working though properly. Like when I go to the studio, which is where I have to go to do things here. I think if I can add, a new caller. I can put a new caller in here. Let's see if I do this. New caller. Can name them, put an emoji in. I can change all kinds of things. I can cancel that. Good. Okay. Yeah. So what I'll do, I'll probably come up with some more callers to add to the mix. I'm going to do a few different things. If I can run this on my Intel computer it's an iMac, but it runs on Intel. It doesn't have an M chip in it, and so I'm going to try to run it from there. If I can do that from there, then we are on ball. We're on the ball. We are ready to go with as far as launching the app and get everything done. I've got to create a few shows. I've got a lot of things to do between now and then, but we're going to try to create a few shows with that and try to get it operational so that we can make everything work. In the meantime, folks, I think what we're going to end up doing. This is Tuesday, Wednesday. Wishy-washy Wednesday and Thursday, Theological Thursday. Those 2 days, for sure, we'll have shows. Friday morning may be a little bit difficult. What I might do is record a show from the boat, actually out on the lake. And we're going to be sailing to Chicago. So I will either do a show early Friday morning from the boat, from the dock, or possibly do one from actually out on the water. I might just try to do that and see how it works out. I've got an autopilot now on the boat, and I had one. I got it working again. So hopefully cruising along will be a little bit more of a pleasant experience, because it's just a little tough when you don't have, you know, when you got to be at the wheel and you got, it's just more annoying. It's just, I can't get anything done. You can't relax. You can't, you know, just have a snack. Everything's got to be at the helm all the time, which just makes it a little different too. Anyway, folks, God bless. Hope you had a great day today. Have a great rest of your week. I hope you have a great month ahead of you, September 1st here. God bless. Take care. I will see you.